Hi, Dave Emery here. This is side one of For the Record program number 779. OUNB Redux, the Underground Reich, and the Ukrainian crisis. This is being recorded on March 8th of the year 2014. We're going to take the line of discussion that we have been presenting in the last two For the Record programs, 777 and 778, and follow the historical and political evolution right on up into the forces that are manifesting themselves in the Ukraine at this point in time. In the aforementioned 777 and 778, we took a look at the OUNB, or Organization of Ukrainian Nationalists Bandera, and its military wing, the UNA, the also known as the Ukrainian Insurgent Army. They were allied with Nazi Germany. They were working with the German General Staff from the 1930s on, and were associated with the SS. We looked at their evolution through the Third Reich period, right on up into their work for Western intelligence, continuing guerrilla warfare that had been begun under the Oberkommando der Wehrmacht of the Third Reich, right on up through the Office of Policy Coordination, a subsidiary organization of the CIA under Frank Wisner. We then continued to look at the evolution of the OUNB and its associated elements, such as the anti-Bolshevik Bloc of Nations, right on up through the assassination of President Kennedy, their evolution into a major element of the Republican Party as part of the Republican Ethnic Outreach Organization. And finally, we took a look at their role in the destabilization of the Soviet Union and Eastern Europe. Eventually, a woman named Ekaterina Chumachenko, who became one of the principal people in the top OUNB front organization in the U.S. called the UCCA. This woman, Ekaterina Chumachenko, became Ronald Reagan's deputy director of public liaison and then later married Viktor Yushchenko, who became head of the Ukraine, head of state of the Ukraine after the so-called Orange Revolution. That didn't work out. Ultimately, Yushchenko was voted out of office with 5% of the popular vote. Before he left office, however, he named both Roman Shukievich and the aforementioned Stefan Bandera as heroes of the Ukraine. Roman Shukievich not only commanded the Ukrainian National Army or Ukrainian Insurgent Army combatants on behalf of the Third Reich, he also commanded the Einsatzgruppe Nachtigall, or the Nightingale Battalion. That is the organization that exterminated the Polish and Jewish populations of Lvov during World War II. We're going to take a look now at the formation of the political coalition that came to power as a result of what was basically a coup d'etat in the militant Svoboda, or Freedom Organization, spelled variously S-W-O-B-O-D-A or S-V-O-B-O-D-A, headed up by a guy named Oleg Tyanobuk, is the principal organization that we're going to look at. There also, later on, we're going to encounter an organization called Pravi Sektor, or Right Sector, or Right Bloc, headed up by a guy named Dmitry Yarosh. Both organizations are very explicit in their allegiance to and political and historical evolution from, an ideological evolution from, the OUNB and the UNA. We're going to take a look at the coalition involving the Svoboda or Freedom Party and also the Fatherland Party of Yulia Tymoshenko, who became a hero under the Orange Revolution, and the UDAR party, headed up primarily by Vitali Klitschko. He's a Ukrainian-born heavyweight boxer. Basically, what happened in this in this coup is that the militants, the stormtroopers, the jackboots, did the dirty work, and then the suits, so to speak, moved in behind them. Now, due to the limitations of time, I'm going to necessarily have to move quickly. I will have to gloss over some points, past the point. Please be aware that there are long article-length descriptions of each For the Record program in the For the Record category on the SpitfireList.com website. We're going to be taking a look at a number of things in this program, not only how the coalition incorporating Svoboda and also Pravý Sektor operated and was formed, also the fact that basically what is at play here, what was at play, was an association agreement to link the Ukraine to the EU. It is ironic to see the U.S. Fulminating over this, because basically the U.S. has no dog in this fight. What this was about an association agreement between the Ukraine and the EU, which not only would have been economically devastating to the Ukraine. We probably won't have time in this program, but in the next show and or in the description, I'm going to include an article about just what the Troika, the EU and the IMF, principally, were going to do to the Ukraine. And it would have turned the Ukraine into not the breadbasket of Eastern Europe, but the basket case of Eastern Europe. The Ukraine is already in bad shape. It should be noted, too, in passing, that Mr. Yanukovych was both corrupt and also incompetent, sharing those characteristics with a large percentage of the leaders of former Soviet republics and an awful lot of the political leaders in various countries around the world. We're going to take a look at the direct allegiance of the Pravý Sektor and Svoboda with the OUND of Stefan Bandera. We're going to take a look at the prominent role of Svoboda and Pravý Sektor in the new Ukrainian government. They control, among other things, the Ukrainian military and the Ukrainian judiciary. We're going to take a look at the Svoboda deputies in parliament and not only their quoting of Nazi leaders like Joseph Goebbels, Ernst Röhm, and Gregor Strasser, but also their stunning characterization of the popular Ukrainian-born actress Mila Kunis as, quote, a dirty Jewess, unquote. We're going to take a look at the renaming of a street formerly called Peace Street in Lvov, after the Noctegal Battalion, the Einsatzgruppe Noctegal. We're going to take a look also at links running between the Ukrainian crisis and the adventures of Eddie the Friendly Spook. We're going to take a look at the role of Pierre Omidyar, the head of eBay, and his role in helping to bankroll some of the organizations that came to power in the Ukrainian coup. And also we're going to take a look at the immigration or the traveling of Swedish neo-Nazis to the Ukraine to fight alongside their Ukrainian brethren. This is the same milieu as the Swedish Nazi milieu to which Carl Lundstrom, who financed the PRQ server in Sweden, belonged. The PRQ server in Sweden is the server on which WikiLeaks held forth, and that connection, the PRQ WikiLeaks link, was made by Joran Jermas, a.k.a. Israel Shamir, who was a Russian-born fascist and Holocaust denier, and the person who actually handles WikiLeaks operations for Russia, and his son, Johannes Wallström, a political bird of the same feather, is the fellow who handles WikiLeaks operations for Scandinavia. We're going to plunge right in with an article from GermanForeignPolicy.com, December 3rd, 2013. This is titled, A Broad-Based Anti-Russian Alliance. It reads in part, the German government is encouraging the protest demonstrations being staged in the Ukraine by the, quote, pro-European, unquote, alliance of conservative and ultra-right-wing parties. The pro-Europe rallies in Kiev and other cities of the country are transmitting a very clear message, unquote, according to a government spokesperson in Berlin. Hopefully, unquote, the Ukrainian president, again quoting, will heed this message, meaning sign the EU's association agreement, which Kiev had refused to do last week in spite of massive German pressure. To gain influence in the country, Germany has for years been supporting the pro-European alliance in the Ukraine. The alliance includes not only conservative parties, but also forces from the extreme right because of their strength, particularly in western Ukraine, where a cult around former Nazi collaborators is manifesting itself. The All-Ukrainian Union Svoboda Party is particularly embedded in the national chauvinist milieu under the influence of this Bandera cult. Over the past few days, the party's leader has called for a, quote, revolution in Kiev. That's the aforementioned Oleh Tyanobuk. Oleh Tyanobuk, the leader of the ultra-right-wing Svoboda Party, is quoted as saying, quote, a revolution is beginning in the Ukraine. Tyanobuk made this proclamation in Kiev during the current protest demonstrations. On the weekend, approximately 100,000 people took to the streets protesting against the current government's foreign policy course and calling for the country to become associated with the EU. During their continuing and increasingly violent demonstrations, protesters are calling on the government to stop refusing to sign the association agreement with the EU. Skipping down. The resurgence of the cult around the former Ukrainian Nazi collaborators since the 1980s has helped ultra-right-wing forces to enlarge their influence in western Ukraine and in Kiev. This cult focuses primarily on Stefan Bandera, leader of the Organization of Ukrainian Nationalists, or OUN. The OUN joined forces with the Nazis during the invasion of the Soviet Union in June of 1941. Skipping down. One specialist explained in reference to Bandera's attempt to proclaim a nation that today Bandera and the OUN play a, quote, very important, unquote, role in the ethnic self-identity, unquote, of West Ukrainians. The OUN is seen as less as a fascist party than, quote, as the climax of a national liberation movement or a fraternity of courageous heroes in Ukrainian national history, unquote. Since the beginning of the 1990s, numerous monuments to Bandera have been erected throughout the country. One such monument crowns the Boulevard Stefan Bandera in Lvov Center, unquote. According to analyses, a, for the most part, informally functioning nationalist civil society has been created around the Bandera cult, particularly in the western Ukraine. By the way, I will note in passing that the Ukraine is sort of a binary society, with the western part identifying more with Poland and Western Europe. The east and the Crimea in particular has historically identified with Russia. Continuing, more about the Bandera cult, which, by the way, in addition to their heirs participating in the Ukrainian coup, as we looked at in For the Record 777 and 778, the Banderites, as they were called, the OUNB, appears to have been involved in the assassination of President Kennedy as well. More about the OUN in the coalition. And note here that one of the leaders of one of the militant wings of the opposition is Yuri Shukovich, the son of Roman Shukovich. He was the commander of the Einsatzgruppe Noctegal. As far back as the 1990s, this milieu has produced various ultra-right-wing organizations. In 1990, the UNA Party, or Ukrainian National Assembly, was founded, forming a paramilitary wing, the Ukrainian National Self-Defense, or UNSO, in 1991. Yuri Shukovich, the son of Roman Shukovich, a Nazi collaborator, was one of its first leaders. Soon, the Congress of Ukrainian Nationalists, or CUN, followed, which elected the former OUN activist Slava Stetsko to the Ukrainian parliament in 1997. By the way, we're going to come to her husband, Yaroslav Stetsko, who was a primary OUN leader and was networking with Ronald Reagan in the 1980s. Continuing. As president by seniority, Slava Stetsko had the honor of delivering the opening address at the Ukrainian parliament after the 1998 elections. After 1945, Stetsko had continued to pursue her Ukrainian activities from her exile in Munich. It was also in Munich that since 1948, the Ukrainian National Council had held its meetings in the physical and political proximity of German and U.S. intelligence services. Skipping down. At the time, the Social National Party of the Ukraine was co-founded in Lvov in 1991 by Oleg Tyanybuk, and it had violent neo-Nazi members but was not yet successful in elections. In 1998, Tyanybuk was voted into the Ukrainian parliament with a direct mandate. Only after the SNPU changed its name to the All-Ukrainian Union Svoboda, or Freedom, in 2004, did it become more successful in elections and the leader of Ukraine's ultra-right-wing forces. At the time, politicians who had been closely cooperating with Berlin, particularly Viktor Yushchenko, Ukrainian president from 2005 to 2010, had been engaged in activities aimed at forming a broad anti-Russian alliance to integrate the Ukraine into the German hegemonic sphere, thereby strengthening the ultra-right-wing forces. Skipping down. Oleg Tyanybuk has temporarily been a member of the Our Ukraine parliamentary group. He was excluded in the summer of 2004 following his speech at the grave of a Nazi collaborator in which he ranted against the, quote, Jewish mafia in Moscow, unquote. Now, remember that Viktor Yushchenko, Ukrainian president, was married to the former Ekaterina Tymoshenko, a member of the top OUNB front organization in the U.S., and the deputy director of presidential liaison under Ronald Reagan. Yushchenko declared Nazi collaborator Roman Shukovich on October 12th of 2007 and Stefan Bandera on January 22nd of 2010 heroes of the Ukraine as a favor to the broad anti-Russian alliance. And of this milieu's networking with Yulia Tymoshenko's Fatherland Party and Vitaly Klitschko's UDAR Party, we read, skipping down, Fatherland, the party of imprisoned opposition politician Yulia Tymoshenko, has entered an electoral alliance with Svoboda in the run-up to the last elections. And skipping down again. A firm opposition coalition was formed, which included Svoboda and the Freedom Party and Vitaly Klitschko's UDAR Party. This coalition is not only closely cooperating in the Ukrainian parliament, but also in the current protest demonstrations in the street. And skipping down again, of the forming of a Svoboda cell in Munich, which had long been the home to the OUNB, we read, with its growing strength, Svoboda is also gaining influence on a European level. Since the 1990s, the party has systematically developed contacts to various ultra-right-wing parties in other European countries. Skipping down. Last August, it founded a party cell in Munich, chaired by a Svoboda City Council member from Ivano Frankiewicz, who is currently studying in the Bavarian capital. Following its foundation ceremony, the new party cell visited the Munich Waldfriedhof, indicating a traditional link between Munich and the Ukraine. The two OUN leaders, Yaroslav Stetsko and Stefan Bandera, are buried in this cemetery. And skipping down again, I would note a couple of articles that are in the description or will be in the description for the show, but we haven't got time to talk about. That is the role of the Svoboda Party with Fatherland and UDAR in the demonstrations. An article from the New York Times of December 9th of 2013 by David M. Hershenson. Ukraine's forces move against protesters, dimming hopes for talks, notes that Mr. Tiahnybuk's supporters in particular are among the most fearsome demonstrators and have led some of the more provocative efforts to occupy buildings and block government offices. A Daily Mail article from the United Kingdom by John Hall titled "Estonian Foreign Ministry Confirms Authenticity of Leaked Phone Call Discussing How Kiev Snipers Who Shot Protesters Were Possibly Hired by Ukraine's New Leaders." Again, there's an excerpt of this in the description for the show. This talks about the possibility that the snipers who were firing on the crowd may have actually been agents provocateurs linked to the Svoboda and Pravi sector, about whom we will have more to say later. Of the direct heritage of the OUNB to Pravi sector, we read the following in USA Today. By the way, there is an historical distortion that is being perpetuated. The OUNB and UNA did not fight against the Nazis in World War II. At one point, immediately after the German invasion of World War II, Yaroslav Stetsko declared the Ukraine to be an independent republic, and did that with Stefan Bandera. Bandera was then recalled to Berlin and placed in prison, and the independence was neutralized because basically it was not meant to be independent. The Germans viewed the Slavs as inferior. As the losses mounted on the Eastern Front and as the exterminations of Jews and Poles continued, the OUNB and the UNA, its military wing, not only helped to staff SS and Gestapo formations, but the aforementioned Einsatzgruppe Nachtigall. They did not, however, take up arms against the Nazis. Had they done that, they would have been liquidated, particularly at this point in the war, early on in the war. So the myth that the UPA or the OUNB has perpetuated, that they fought against the Nazis, is simply a myth. On New Year's Day of 2014, the Svoboda group organized a march for Stefan Bandera. This is an AP story carried in USA Today from January 1st of 2014. 15,000 Ukrainian nationalists march for divisive Bandera. And it reads in part, "About 15,000 people marched through Kiev on Wednesday night to honor Stefan Bandera, glorified by some as a leader of Ukraine's liberation movement and dismissed by others as a Nazi collaborator." Skipping down. "Some wore the uniform of a Ukrainian division of the German army during World War II. Others chanted, 'Ukraine above all,' and 'Bandera, come and bring order.'" That uniform, by the way, was the 14th Waffen-SS, or Galician Division. "However, many of Bandera's followers sought to play down his collaboration with the Germans in the fight for Ukraine's independence as the leader of the Organization of Ukrainian Nationalists, Ukraine's foremost nationalist organization in the first half of the 20th century." Skipping down again. "His group was also involved in the ethnic cleansing that killed tens of thousands of Poles in 1942 and 1944. The Organization of Ukrainian Nationalists portrayed Russians, Poles, Hungarians, and Jews, most of the minorities in the Western Ukraine, as aliens, and encouraged locals to, quote, destroy, unquote, Poles and Jews." Skipping down again. "In January 2010, less than a month before his term in office was to end, Ukrainian President Viktor Yushchenko posthumously decorated Bandera with the Hero of the Ukraine Award." Skipping down. "The Nationalist Party Svoboda, which organized Wednesday's rally, was one of the key forces behind the protests, but other opposition factions have said that the Bandera rally is unrelated to the ongoing protest encampment in central Kiev." That last part is simply not true. an article in Salon.com of February 25th of 2014, authored originally again for Alternet by Max Blumenthal, is titled, Is the U.S. Backing Neo-Nazis in the Ukraine? And this has a number of very important pieces of information. First of all, about the participation of some of the OUNB people in the Reagan administration. We've already talked about that, more about that. In Washington, the OUNB reconstituted under the banner of the Ukrainian Congress Committee of America, an umbrella organization comprised of, quote, complete OUNB fronts, according to author Russ Ballant. By the mid-1980s, the Reagan administration was honeycombed with UCCA members, with the group's chairman, Lev Dobryansky, serving as ambassador to the Bahamas, and his daughter, Paula Dobryansky, sitting on the National Security Council. Reagan personally welcomed Yaroslav Stetsko, the Bondarist leader who oversaw the massacre of 7,000 Jews in Lvov, into the White House. Your struggle is our struggle, Reagan told the former Nazi collaborator. Your dream is our dream. The article also notes that, quote, Svoboda is linked to a constellation of international neo-fascist parties through the alliance of European national movements. Right sector, or Pravi sector, is promising to lead its armies of disillusioned young men on a great European conquest. We're going to talk more about Pravi sector later. I would also note that Victoria Nuland, who was a cabinet member under George Bush and is an undersecretary of state, as related here in this article, at a December 5th, 2013 U.S.-Ukraine Foundation conference, Nuland boasted that the U.S. had invested $5 billion to, quote, build democratic skills and institutions in the Ukraine, although she did not offer any details. One of the most stunning details here about the city of Lvov, that is where the Einsatzgruppe Nachtigall liquidated the Jewish population and also much of the Polish population. Lvov has become the epicenter of neo-fascist activity in the Ukraine, with elected Svoboda officials waging a campaign to rename its airport after Stefan Bandera, and successfully changing the name of Peace Street to the name of the Nachtigall Battalion, an OUNB wing that participated directly in the Holocaust. Again, that would be like naming a city in Phnom Penh, Cambodia, after Pol Pot. It is not only stunning in and of itself, but also more than a little revealing. And again, some of the background we talked about in For the Record 777 and 778. We are going to continue with our analysis in Side 2. This, however, concludes Side 1 of For the Record program number 779, the OUNB Redux, the Underground Reich, and the Ukrainian Crisis. This is being recorded on March 8th of the year 2014. I'm Dave Emery. Ciao.